George Bernard Shaw's story of Pygmalion, of course, is the story behind My Fair Lady, which we're all very familiar with. But there is also a early version for film that was taken from the actual story, which had been moved around a bit plot-wise for My Fair Lady to make it more palatable for a musical, I guess. But to give us a little more detail on it is Joe Kirkish, director of Club Indigo, the dinner and a movie series up at the County Met Theater, which will be showing the original Pygmalion this Friday. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hello, and that's a good introduction, Stan.
Well, thank you. I'm very familiar with the story, but I will confess I've never seen the original film.
A lot of people have not, and I'm disappointed. I'm shocked. When I brought it up at our board meeting, there were people there who didn't even know who George Bernard Shaw was.
Ooh, perish the
thought.
Yeah,
my gosh, have we been dumbed down that far? Now, they did admit they had heard of the musical, My Fair Lady, but they didn't know that it was taken from, first of all, a stage play by Shaw,
right,
which won all kinds of prizes. It's still being done by workshops and theater groups all over the world, not just here. But he felt he owed something to the screen because he had done some films for them before that lost money. And so he said, I'm going to give you one that I know you'll be able to succeed with. And he did. He took the stage play and insisted that they stick with it. Now, the reason I picked it out is because most of our movies are ad-libbed or improvised, as much as 85%. And as a result, since people's vocabularies have gone down so far, mainly to about four-letter words, we don't get the beauty of the spoken word any longer in the films. There are some very good films made in the 30s, 40s, 50s that were like that. But when George Bernard Shaw came out with this one, if you ever look at the script, you'll find that he wrote a tremendous commentary after or before each one of the parts in it. And even when he got to the end, he put in a long, I guess you'd call it an apologia, for why he had it end the way it did. And he was brilliant. His writing, his style of writing was so good. And he knew how to create his characters in depth. And in each one of these little episodes that he puts into the script, and that you will never see on the screen, of course, make you realize why he created them the way he did. The characters are really, truly, beautifully rendered here. You've got Pygmalion, taken from the artist and the old Greek myth, I guess,
yes,
it would have been.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Who creates a statue and falls in love with it. And so Aphrodite, who sees herself in the statue, decides to give him what he's always longed for, and he brings it to life. And that's Galatea. So along with Romeo and Juliet and all the other great loves, Pygmalion and Galatea became famous for over 2,000 years. An opera was made of it at one time, and everyone knows the story, and they all know how it comes out. Well, Shaw, who's not only the wittiest person in the writing world, in articles and plays and everything else, but he was also one of the nastiest. he could come back at people with repartee that would just throw them off their feet.
You would say it'd be biting criticism, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
That's polite.
he sent tickets to his newest play to, the great English statesman during the Second World War.
Winston Churchill?
Yes.
Yes.
How could I forget him? Well, he sent him tickets, and as you know, Churchill can be pretty sharp, too. So he said to Churchill, these are tickets for the opening night. I'd like you to come and see it if you think you're still going to be able to. Meaning, you know, he was old and not much on the ball. Well, he got a response in a hurry saying, I am sorry I cannot make the opening night because I'll be busy then. I'll try to make the second night if it lasts that long. And that's the kind of thing that went on all the time between Shaw and all the other people he knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we've got all of that in the movie, and it is it's a labor of love to watch this film because the language is so beautiful in it. And if you know anything about the two characters, the one who has, you know, Professor Higgins, who has, in a sense, created Eliza Doolittle into what became possibly a princess.
That's right.
And, of course, you watch this going on so beautifully in the musical, but it's even better in the stage version and in the film because they had a lot more time to develop it. And it's a great movie. I just felt, despite some of the recriminations from the board, that we had to show it. Summertime is a good time for the golden oldies, and if ever there was a golden oldie, this is it.
Certainly is. And in the minute or so we have left, Joe, I assume that there will be some English and Irish food in advance of the film for those who want to partake in the buffet.
Right. And people ask, why Irish? Well, Shaw was Irish.
That's right.
And this film is as much Irish as it is British, even though it was made by a British company. And so who would we get to do it but the Irish Times chef, whose name is Cormac. And everybody who has ever been there for our April showing, was it April? March.
Mm-hmm, March, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry for that. He is from Ireland, and he was a great chef for a long time before he came to the United States. And so now we have a chance to get him for this. If anybody comes up here, they should be able to stay long enough to have a meal in his Irish Times restaurant, which is in Laurium, right akin to Calumet.
The other Twin City.
That's right.
Yes.
but he will tell you all about it. His Irish brew there. Now, we can't serve the brew.
Of course.
But his Irish brew comes in kegs directly from Dublin, and it is the best ale you've ever had in your life.
You can't get more authentic than that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And so the same with his food. If he can get anything that is specifically Irish, he has it shipped from Ireland to Chicago and from there brought up to him. So he's really the real McCoy. And this, he hasn't told us yet what the meal is going to be like. He always keeps it a secret, but you can count on a good meal. And you can count on always a terrific dessert afterwards.
Of course. And, of course, the coup de grace is the film itself. And
right.
This will be a great way to usher in summer for this evening.
Come up and enjoy Calumet. They've grown so well. They're aware of what visitors are supposed to be interested in. There are more art galleries up there than I think in any other single city in the Upper Peninsula.
And every Saturday there's that market that goes on in Calumet as well, so
it
would be a good idea for an overnight.
Yeah, and they do have a Finnish market down in Hancock if they want to see that.
You can stop there on the way back.
Yeah, right. It's delightful. I've never seen a community grow as much as they have with the tourists in mind. And I'm even enjoying it. I mean, I've lived here all my life. I go up for concerts in the Heritage Center. They have one of the best organs around. And all the other things. And, of course, right now we are just about going into the Pine Mountain Music Festival.
That's right. It starts up in about a week.
Yes. And so there's your opportunity to stay a while. If you can come up, stay the whole week and enjoy other things as well.
Well, of course, it all starts with this dinner and a movie event, Joe. And
right.
We certainly appreciate you telling us all about the playing of the original story of George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion at the Calumet Theater this Friday and preceded by Cormac's Buffet of Irish and English Foods.
And by the way, they have to call ahead for the buffet.
Right.
At least a day ahead so he knows how much to bring.
Now's as good a time as any.
And I'll bet you've got the Calumet number there.
I think so. 906-337-2610.
You got it.
Okay, Joe, as always, a pleasure, and thank you for taking the time to talk about this Friday's event at the Calumet Theater with Club Indigo.
Thank you, Stan, and it's my pleasure, too.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.